Years ago, a little north of Jerusalem, people were fighting. The reading this morning is the first book of Samuel, chapter 7, verses 3 to 13. Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, "If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey him alone. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines." So the Israelites got rid of their images of Baal and Ashtoreth and worshipped only the Lord. Samuel said to them, "Gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and, in a great ceremony, drew water from a well and poured it out before the Lord. They also went without food all day and confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. It was at Mizpah that Samuel became Israel's judge. When the Philistine rulers heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army and advanced. The Israelites were badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. "Don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines," they begged Samuel. So Samuel took a young lamb and offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering. He pleaded with the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered him. Just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. The men of Israel chased them from Mizpah to a place below Beth-kar, slaughtering them all along the way. Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshanaha. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, "Up to this point, the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and didn't invade Israel again for some time. And throughout Samuel's lifetime, the Lord's powerful hand was raised against the Philistines. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, John. Well, the story here, the Old Testament story, is a rescue, really, of monumental proportion. The people of Israel knew that they didn't stand a chance. They didn't have any hope at all against the Philistines. They were frightened. We read they were scared. They were begging the Lord, Samuel, to keep pleading. The Lord would grant them help. And on the other side of it, the Philistines were, fully assuming that this was going to be easy pickings for them. They were gloating, as it were. It was like they could taste the victory that was going to be theirs. But God intervened and threw the Philistines into confusion. And the people of Israel on that day thoroughly routed the Philistines. The prophet Samuel wanted the people to remember the day that the Lord had stepped in and helped them. And so he took a stone. I don't know if it was like the one that you're looking at on the screen or not, but he took a stone and he set it up where the army had won the battle that day, and he called it Ebenezer, which, as John read in the scripture, it says it means the stone of help. And that the purpose of the stone was simply this: to remind the people, not so much of what they had done, but more, so much more, of what God had done for them. And Samuel's words were, "Up to this point, the Lord has helped us." This past week, I had two burials, one on Wednesday, one on Thursday. The first one in Hamilton Cemetery along York Boulevard, and the second one at Woodland Lawn Cemetery in Guelph. And I watched the tears flow very freely. Thankfully, they flowed freely on the eyes, the faces of the children, and the grandchildren as we held the committals for their mothers, two grandmothers, dear ones, who had helped these families through the course of their lives. And if you know the size of these cemeteries, the Hamilton one on York Boulevard, and even up in Guelph, they're huge, they're large, and all around us were gravestones, such to the point you couldn't see the road, you could hardly hear the traffic, just gravestones surrounding you all around, representing the lives of others who had helped their families, loved ones. On Tuesday, and Evan will be involved in this in Burlington Monday evening, but on Tuesday, many of us will have the opportunity to gather at a cenotaph. It'll be a stone of remembrance to make certain. I so value George's heart in all of this that we not forget. We write these stories, but we'll gather at a stone of remembrance, a cenotaph, so that we don't forget. We remember the help that others have given us, even at the cost for some of them of their own lives. And I've been thinking about this because I don't think for a moment any of us have ever thought of these stones that are in the cemeteries or at the cenotaph. We've ever thought of calling them an Ebenezer. Probably never occurred to you. If we think of that word Ebenezer, it conjures up the picture of you know who? Scrooge. Yeah, Ebenezer Scrooge. And when you have that picture of Scrooge, what are you thinking of? You're thinking of someone who's miserly and stingy and cheap and mean and bitter. And yet long before Charles Dickens ever wrote about Ebenezer Scrooge and The Christmas Carol, someone else had written a song about the word Ebenezer, the stone of help. We're going to watch a short video now, if we can have it readied. And this is a video about Robert Robinson.
Robert Robinson was born in England in 1735. 8 years later, his father died. Robert's mother couldn't control him, so she sent him away to a trade school in London. When he arrived, he spent most of his time with a local gang, raising hell and getting drunk. One night when Robert was about 17, he and his friends decided to go to an old gypsy fortune teller's shop. They got her drunk so she would tell them their fortunes for free. The fortune teller pointed her finger at Robert and told him that he would live a long life and would see both his children and grandchildren born. Robert thought, if this is true, I can't keep living like this. George Whitefield, a great revival preacher, was speaking one night, and Robert and his friends went to heckle him and torment the crowd. The preacher was quoting John the Baptist as he confronted the overly religious. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Whitefield burst into tears, yelling, "Oh, my hearers, the wrath to come, the wrath to come." Whitefield's message haunted Robert for 3 years before he finally gave his life to Jesus. Robert immediately felt a call to pastoral ministry. Over his lifetime, he pastored a number of churches, wrote volumes on theology, and also penned several hymns. In 1 Samuel 7:12, we read how Samuel set up a stone altar commemorating God's help and salvation after a victory of God's people over the Philistines. He called the stone Ebenezer, which means stone of help. These verses resonated with Robert, inspiring the song Come Thou Fount, which is literally his altar of remembrance for the saving work of Jesus in his life. It's a plea for the Spirit to fill us, enabling us to remain faithful in spite of our wandering hearts.
Robinson, in that wonderful song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, was simply echoing what Samuel had said, written in our scripture lesson that John read for us. Where the people had been, where they had come from, they knew that the Lord had been with them to help them. They had gotten to the place where they were, not out of their own strength and not by their own doing, but because the Lord had brought them that far. The stone of help for them, the Ebenezer, strange sounding word, but it was really a reminder to them that God was for them an ever-present help in every time of trouble, every time of trial, every time of testing. They knew that God would see them through, God would help them. The Ebenezer, the stone of help, served for years to come, for so many years, to remind the people of God's never-failing love for them, God's unwavering commitment for them, to them. It was a symbol for Samuel and the people that they were not alone. God was with them on their journey, no matter where it took them. God was with them. Robinson wrote about how, and the scripture is the testimony as it weaves its way through the Old Testament into the New, that we have something today that's far better than a stone of remembrance. We have the cross. And the cross is more than just a nice piece of jewelry. The cross remembers what someone did for us, what someone did in our place. Someone acted so that we could be free. Someone gave his life so that we could have new life. And Jesus is that person. Jesus is the one who gives purpose and meaning to our lives, because he assures us that we belong to God, that God is our help, God is our strength, that this far, to this point, God has been the one who has helped us. God will be the one who will continue to help us. Rightfully today, we remember. On Tuesday, we will remember. But it needs to be said, here in this service of worship, to be Canadians best, we will not be Canadians first. To be Canadians best, we will not be Canadians first. First of all, we are citizens of a different country, a better country. It's God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. And we need to remember that God is the one in our lives who makes something beautiful, as we've sung, out of the dust, something beautiful out of the broken, hard ground of our lives. And God is equally committed to doing that in this world, so that one day all of the nations will gather. The passage that Susan read from Isaiah 60, in between the two opening songs of worship. Not a wish, not a dream, but a reality. For now, for the moments that we live in, I think it's important we understand that when life gets challenging for us, and it does, it's challenging for some in our congregation this morning because of things that have taken place even through this week. When life gets challenging for us, we can panic. We can forget who is on our side and who will not fail us, ever, ever fail us. And even when the worst imaginable happens to us, God is with us. Jesus is with us. Even when the bottom falls out of the life plans that we have established and believed to ourselves that they were God's plans for our lives, God is with us. Jesus will make something beautiful out of all the tangled web and mess that we may find ourselves in. I invite the praise team to come forward, because in just a moment we're going to sing together Robert Robinson's song. And I want you to take large measure of the very first word that we will sing, and that word is come. To sing that word come is to make an admission. It's to make the admission as you sing it that when it comes to life, you understand that we cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot do it alone. To sing the word come is to make the admission that we need God's help. Now, sometimes I get it, because I fall prey to this, that doesn't seem like that hard or that difficult of a thing to say. But believe me, as you ponder it, the deeper and deeper you go trying to understand it, you realize how incredibly challenging and difficult that is. Because what it means and what it represents is taking the step back from thinking that I can come to the rescue in my life, that I can offer the aid that my life needs. To sing the word come, and then what follows is to say, Lord, I need your help. We need your help. You and you alone are the one who can rescue and aid us. Now understand, I get it. You know, God is going to use our efforts. You get that. You understand that. But it's never going to be our efforts. It will never be our efforts that will ultimately save us and rescue us. The God with us in Jesus Christ is the one committed to save us and to rescue us. And so we sing, come thou fount of every blessing. Come, Lord, grant us your aid. Come, Lord, release your blessing. We need you. Come, Lord, lift up our hearts this morning. Come, Lord, and show us your way so that we can walk in it. I invite you to stand.
Of every blessing to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above.
Please do take the opportunity to